Welcome everyone to today's call. As a great hockey blogger and supporter of Versus, you have been granted exclusive access to an interview with Brian Ingram, analyst for Hockey Central on Versus. Please remember, any reproduction, distribution, or transmission of any part or parts of today's call is not permitted. I would like to welcome you to this exclusive interview with Brian Ingram, analyst for Hockey Central on Versus. We are thrilled to have Brian with us today, along with everyone else on the call. We have compiled a terrific group of hockey bloggers, and we are excited to hear what everyone has to say. Let's go ahead and jump right into the question and answer portion of this call. But first, Brian, it's great to have you here today, and thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you very much for having me. It's always great to get a chance to contact and get in contact with fans directly and answer their questions. And usually the only for the usual format is through radio telecast when people call in and our broadcast, I mean. So I'm looking forward to this. Anybody have any questions, I'll do my best to answer them. It's great.
Okay, great. We'll go ahead and go to Bob Wage of Raleigh, North Carolina. Your line is open.
Hi, Brian. This is Bob from CanesCountry.com. I'd like to start off by asking you about marketing. Do you feel the NHL could do a better job of marketing the product so that you could get better television ratings? And what about Versus? Could they do a better job as well?
I think they've done a pretty good job. I know it's a popular thing to knock the NHL, and I see the players talk about it, that it's not marketed very well. I'm not an expert in the field, but I know that the NHL has made great strides forward in the last handful of years in particular. And I think that marketing, to me, when I think about it, is, you know, when you see football or baseball players or whatever, on television a lot, a lot of times it's, you know, the commercials they make that are away from the game, whether it's, you know, like a MasterCard commercial or something like that. And, you know, in the United States, it's usually players in those sports who get asked to do those things a lot. So I think you see them more often, and just because the fact is that football and, you know, baseball and basketball have, you know, bigger ratings and have been around a lot longer than hockey in general, and people are more familiar with it. So I think the advertisers go in those areas and get these players before they get hockey players. To me, that's part of what I see. I think the NHL does its best to get the game out there and, distribute the information and expose our players. I don't know what other avenues you can use that they're not already using. The internet sites and the NHL.com and how that has grown, as well as, Versus' site, and, you know, what we do with hockey, I think has been really terrific. And it has expanded the game in a gigantic way, you know, from 8-10 years ago. Mm-hmm. So I think it's a process. I don't think that the NHL deserves to be slammed, the way they have. I think they're doing their best out there. And I'm sure they do. You know, I know, in fact, they do try to contact a lot of companies and try and get as many players involved as possible. You know, when players do get involved with magazine shoots and things like that, you see them, you know, on the websites. They get that info out there to the individual teams, and the individual teams distribute that information to their fans in their own cities. And, you know, to me, like, what else can you do? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like when Sean Avery does an internship at, I forget which magazine it was, but, that was all over the place. You know, it was big news and people talk about it. And, you know, in the past, guys of different players have done photo shoots for Vogue and whatever, GQ magazine. That's all great stuff. The other sports do that, and the NHL does it too, and they do it as much as they can. I think that, Versus gets slammed because, you know, it's not as big as ESPN, and that is obviously true. ESPN has been around for a long time. I worked for ESPN for 11 years before I came to Versus. I know a lot of how it works. I know that certainly they have the size, and it took them a long time to get to where they are. I remember when ESPN2 was in 35 million homes, and then it went to 50, you know, and then it went to 60.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like a big party. I mean, we're in 74 million homes with Versus. So, you know, that's pretty darn good. But all people want to talk about is ESPN. And I understand that to a point, but I also know that when hockey was on ESPN, there were a lot of problems trying to get games on in nights that the NHL always wanted one specific night of hockey. They've always tried to do that. You know, like Hockey Night in Canada, Saturday night, right, Bob?
Right.
And there was just no way that ratings-wise that ESPN was going to do that. They said, we'll put you on nights whenever we can fit it in. And that's the way it was. And it would not be any different now. Believe me, in my information, and of course I'm not the authority and I'm not saying I am, but I did work there and I know how it works. And they have a lot of sports and they cover a lot of stuff and they go by ratings. There is no doubt about that. So they don't, you know, they'll fit it in. The number of games that they would do, whether on ESPN or ESPN2, would be very small compared to what we do on Versus. You know, I'm sure of that. So I think we've made really great strides and given the NHL a lot of what they want, and that is a specific night. We do Mondays and Tuesdays all night, all season long, and that's important to have regularity, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And in that respect, I'm very proud of what we have done, and I think it's a major step forward. And a lot of people, our ratings and the number of households that we have gone into have steadily gone up. We get ratings now on regular season games that are higher than what ESPN2 had. I know that. And we had terrific ratings through the playoffs and in the Stanley Cup finals. And that's where the game really grows. So, you know, people who constantly just bash it, and a lot of reporters that bash it, don't have all the information and just feel like turning over a couple of rocks every once in a while and go back to the same old arguments that are really pretty tired by now.
Okay, thanks, Brian.
Sure.
Great.
Thanks, Bob.
Great, and let's go to Monica Rowe in Phoenix, Arizona. Your line is open.
Hi, this is Monique from Coyotes Hip Check. And my question is, what's your opinion on all the really young guys breaking into the league so early? Is it good for the players, and is it good for the game in the long run?
Well, Monique, I think it's interesting to watch it year over year, the number of 18-year-olds I'm sure you're talking about. We had, 8 of them in the league at the start. A couple of them have been sent back to junior. It's a cyclical phenomenon that just happens. You never quite know how many players on any given year are going to come into the NHL and stick right away. There are a couple of factors. One of them is the salary cap. So money is ever important, and you can only have, you know, you need the right number of players to field a team. And if you are paying a lot of really high-end guys, you know, $5, $6, $8, $9 million a year, naturally you have to get less expensive players to come in. So that's a little bit of a factor right there, that the young guys come in, they're maxed out on what they can make. So that is an advantage to the teams to fit them in. Having said that, you have to have this skill level and the mental capacity in order to be able to play in the National Hockey League. And 18- and 19-year-olds, some of them have it and some of them don't. A lot of these kids now, we're coming to a generation already now in the last probably 2 or 3 years already where they've been trained since they were probably about 12 years old, not only about hockey, but how to eat, how to be in shape, how to be in the gym. And so they are bigger, stronger, and faster in every sport at 18 years old than they were when, you know, like when I was playing for sure a long time ago and say in the last 10 years. So they can compete because they have the physical skills and they are big enough. The rest is, do they have the mental capacity and can they make that adjustment and not be overwhelmed by playing against players who are 35 and 40 years old when they were playing with 16-year-olds in junior hockey or maybe in college. So it's interesting to watch. I think we're just in one of these years right now where we have some phenomenal young talent at 18 years old playing in the league, and I think they've shown that they are capable, and I don't think it's bad for the league. And trust me, the ownership and the management don't want to burn out their star young talent. They take it very seriously, and if they think a kid is not ready and they get to know him over the first course of the first couple of months and they think, well, he's probably a little too fragile and he's maybe not quite ready for this, they send him back, and they let him just mature a little bit until they bring him back up. So I think that's the best way I can answer your question, Monique.
Thank you.
Great, thanks. Let's go ahead to Rick in Buffalo. Your line is open.
Hi, Brian. My question is, as a product of the NCAA system, in recent years, do you notice a growing number of young players opting to play at the college level over the junior system? And what do you think is the best path for a player to take to the NHL?
Well, Rick, I was really blessed to be able to come up through NCAA situation. I grew up in Winnipeg, but I ended up going to the University of Wisconsin. And when I went, this was back in the early 70s, early to mid-70s. It was 1973 when I went. And I was told by people, hey, if you want to play in the NHL, don't go to college. You got no shot. It's not going to happen. Well, I guess I was never sure that I was going to make it to the NHL. So I thought, well, I can go to college, and if I don't like it, I can always come back and play junior hockey. But you can't do it the other way around. If you play Tier 1 hockey, still to this day, it's considered pro by the NCAA because they get paid, even though it's only a stipend, it's still technically getting paid. So if you go and play Tier 1 in Ontario or the Western League or Quebec, you're done as far as the NCAA goes. You can't go. So I figured, well, let's go and give it a shot. And it worked out for me. Even though I did not stay all 4 years, I left after I was drafted. You know, I think you deal with your hockey career 1 year at a time. And I felt like, well, I'm going to get drafted. I do want to play. I think I have a chance to make it, and I want to go now. That's an individual circumstance. Everybody makes their decision, as we have seen every year since that time. Some of the great players we have in the National Hockey League have come out of college hockey, and it's terrific. The level of play at college has been at a very, very high end for many years now, and there is, in my mind, no doubt about, you know, the level of play when you compare junior hockey to college hockey. The only difference is the length of the schedule, and if you talk to pro scouts, they will say that, well, you still have the best chance if you play junior hockey because it's more like the pro schedule. They play 80 games, 80-plus games. And in college, I forget exactly the number anymore, but it's probably more like 45, you know, the 50 range. So that is significant. And, you know, the training process of having to grind it out for 80-odd games in junior gets you prepared. But having said that, you know, you play junior hockey and you throw school out the window, there are tremendous number of players that were really good junior hockey players and get drafted extremely low, come into camp as walk-ons, never really make it, or might play in the minors a little bit, and their careers are done way quicker than they expected that they would. So there is no right or wrong. It's about how good a student are you? Do you hate school? I mean, there's just no way you can take it after 12th grade, and then you might as well go play junior hockey. And, you know, give it a shot and see where it goes. But if you're at least a good student and you can hack it and somebody's offering you a pretty good scholarship at a good school, damn, it's, in my mind, you've got to take a real good hard look at it and at least give it a shot. And if you don't like it, you can go home, as I said, and go back and play junior and see if you can get to the NHL that route.
All right, Brian, thank you.
Okay, Rick.
Great. Let's go to Bill in Delray, New Jersey. Your line's open.
Hi, Brian. This is Bill Farish from FlyerCenter.com. I wanted to ask you about the shootout in the NHL.
Uh-huh.
Personally, I'm not a fan of it, not just because the Flyers are horrendous at it. I feel that it takes away from the team atmosphere, what the players battle for during regulation and the overtime period. And I always felt it was put in to draw in fans to the new market NHL. What's your opinion of it, and do you have any other suggestions the NHL could explore to break the, you know, the end tie? And do you actually know if it's actually drawing in any new fans?
Let's go for the last question first. I don't know how you would equate is it drawing in more fans. I don't know the answer to that question. I'm not sure you could actually get a specific answer just based on the shootout. I think that people love it. Even the people who say they don't like the whole idea of it, when it's on, if you go to any arena, almost all the people are standing. It's amazing. They're so into it, watching this one-on-one battle, that it's really phenomenal to watch. It's exciting. When the topic first came up, I'm more on your side, Bill, saying that, no, I wasn't a big fan of the shootout. Always been a pretty big traditionalist. I'm starting to change more and more. I just accept it now, you know, because I voiced my opinion at the time and said, yeah, I'm not a big fan of this idea. I like the team concept as well, too. But what was determined was that people, you know, watching sports, especially in the United States, are used to seeing a winner in one shape or form. There is overtime or there's a way to decide every game, and that people paying big price for tickets should not come away so often with a tie and teams playing conservatively right to the end. So this gives us an exciting format to, you know, getting into the game. And it is very serious, because that extra point at the end, based on, you know, just maybe three players involved, you know, win it for you or lose it for you, as far as the shooters, and of course your goalie is the biggest factor. I think it's just so darn exciting to watch. I find myself getting mesmerized just like everybody else. It's a contest of skills. Some of the shootout goals that are scored now, it's phenomenal, the creativity that the shooters have. They're coming in backwards sometimes for the last couple of feet, trying to fool the goalie, trying to come up with new things. That's really great to see the skill level. You know, in the long run, I think it's worked, and I think it's been worth it.
Okay. I mean, maybe if the Flyers get better at it, maybe I'll like it more. But,
yeah, I hear you.
I guess I was on the same page. Like, I'm liking it a little bit more, but I like the team atmosphere, I think, more. I guess more traditionalist than that.
Yeah. Well, you know, I know we were just talking about this the other day, too, and somebody said, you know what, I would, when they do the four-on-four for the first 5 minutes, you know, one of the other topics that came up, they said, okay, then, you know, make it three-on-three for another 5 minutes. Can you imagine? It would be a little more team-oriented for sure, and you can imagine how wild three-on-three and how fast end-to-end would be, and some people interpret that as more team-oriented than just a shootout. But it is what it is, and, you know, you never know. In today's NHL, with the goaltenders being so good, you could be down to two-on-two, and still they'd be just, you know, running themselves ragged. We still may not, you know, get an end to a game within 20 minutes or so. So time becomes a bit of a factor, too. You have to realize on an 82-game schedule, teams playing on back-to-back nights and having to get to the airport and get out of the town, and some cities have restrictions on, you know, takeoffs and landings at airports. And believe me, that is a consideration that a lot of people don't realize. They have to get to the next city for the next night. So theoretically, you could go on too long and put them in jeopardy of, you know, getting to their next destination. So a lot of factors.
Okay, well, I appreciate your time. Thank you very much.
Sure, no problem.
Great, thank you. Thank you for participating in today's call. Have a great day.